Welcome to Quick Study, the monthly podcast from the National Endowment for the Arts. This is where we'll share stats and stories to help us better understand the value of art in everyday life. And I'm co-piloting Quick Study with Sunil Iyengar. He's the Director of Research and Analysis here at the Arts Endowment. Good morning, Sunil.
Good morning, Joe.
And I know there's a big UNESCO research report about the impact of COVID-19 on cultural workers that you wanted to share.
Yes, I did. Thanks, Joe. The report's called Cultural and Creative Industries in the Face of COVID-19. It's an economic impact outlook. You know, we know, Joe, that obviously that the artists and arts organizations were among the most traumatized segments of the economy last year when the pandemic struck. The NEA has reported a lot of figures about unemployment rates, about audiences declining and all that, of course, because of the shutdowns and the economic repercussions of the pandemic. But here we have a report that estimates that worldwide in 2020, there was a $750 billion contraction in the total economic value that cultural and creative industries normally generate. And that was a decline relative to 2019.
Whoa, $750 billion?
Yes, that's right. And according to UNESCO, this figure translates to job losses exceeding 10 million workers last year.
Extraordinary.
Yeah, sobering.
Yeah. So tell me, how was this report put together? How did they get their facts and their figures?
Yeah, so they actually did a sweep of literature, you know, around the world, really, and covered, I think, 54 studies meeting, you know, their criteria for this systematic literature review. And so together, all the data estimates COVID's impact on cultural and creative industries in 20 mid to large size economies. And in these economies, the researchers note, together, that accounts for about 60% of the world economy.
These figures are extraordinary. That actually just gives you an idea of the number of people that are employed in the arts or culture-related sectors, but also the deep, deep impact COVID had on them.
Yes. And as I said a moment ago, I mean, we've been tracking at the NEA, you know, just in the U.S. alone, understanding loss to box office revenue, you know, lower attendance rates for particularly performing arts, but also visual arts events, and of course, higher rates of unemployment for artists. And so this has been, you know, obviously of serious concern to the sector and, of course, to funders like us for more than a year now. For example, based on a U.S. study that came out last year, which was the Brookings Institution study here in D.C., UNESCO estimates that there was a loss of between 20% and 30% to the gross economic value that the arts contribute to the U.S. economy. So between 20 to 30% in the U.S. alone, in terms of the economic loss. And that was just a U.S. estimate, according to UNESCO. But through the study, we now see that, oh, look, the toll, of course, was much greater worldwide. And we're talking again about a whopping $750 billion in economic loss.
Sunil, let me ask you, is this rather new to track cultural and creative workers as sort of a separate economic entity, or has that been done for a while?
To me, this is what generates a lot of potential interest. We have not consistently, as the U.S., tracked cultural and creative workers across the board. Now, the NEA, working with the Bureau of Economic Analysis, part of the Department of Commerce, tracks arts and cultural industries, but that doesn't include all what we might consider creative industries. Of course, you can be creative in many different professions and many different walks of life. What's interesting here is this report looks at what the U.S. data shows, but it also looks, as I said, about 54 studies were brought into this meta review. And it really identifies cultural and creative workers and industries as a separate dynamic segment of the world's economy. So one that's not worth tracking just in the U.S., but in nations in every part of the globe.
Sunil, other than the fact that this report is tracking cultural workers and seeing them as a dynamic part of the economy, albeit a part of the economy that is truly suffering right now, is there any glimmer of good news in this report?
Yeah, well, so I do think what's helpful here in the report is they did a series of case studies, international case studies that show up at the end of the report that showcase digital innovation across cultural and creative industries. Now, we all know, those of us, whether we're in the arts or not, how much we've had to rely on web streaming services for our entertainment and other sources, you know, digital sources, when we couldn't attend as many live in-person events. But what this report does, it shows that so-called niche streaming services that is focused on more specialist and or culturally diverse content appears to have prospered, in their words, since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. So I think there's a lot of work to be done to understand how are these so-called niche streaming services that arts organizations have innovated during the pandemic, how are these services doing in terms of reach, accessibility? Are they bringing in new audiences, so to speak, into the arts? Are they hitting different cultural traditions? How capacious is that? Are these platforms? And how will that translate into in-person attendance, for example, when things start to open up again in full force?
Well, we'll certainly all be keeping an eye on that. Sunil, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe. Pleasure.
That was Sunil Iyengar. He's the Director of Research and Analysis here at the National Endowment for the Arts. This has been Quick Study. The music is We Are One from Scott Holmes Music. It's licensed through Creative Commons. Until next time, I'm Josephine Reed. Thanks for listening.